How are you?
Good.
Good evening, and welcome to the May 27th, 2008 meeting of the Henrico County Board of Supervisors. You probably are noting that we are short one member of our board. Our total contingent is not here this evening. Both the manager and our chairman are on an economic development trip that's taking them to both North Korea and China. And I know they're having a very interesting time, but especially with China and its concerns with earthquakes and that sort of thing, I hope they don't run into any problems. And I know they will be back soon and will probably inform us of all the great things they're doing. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and please remain standing for the invocation by the Reverend J. Butcher, the Associate Pastor of Hatcher Memorial Baptist Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Creator and Sustainer, we come this evening and we begin by acknowledging the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, both as a people and as a county. We thank you for the many ways in which you've blessed us. And at the same time, our memories are fresh of the events of this past weekend and the memories that we have of those who have fallen in battle, protecting the blessings and particularly the freedom that you've given to us. And even as you've given us those blessings, we thank you for those who have given that sacrifice to us. And as they have given it to us, we give them back to you. Father, be with us, the men and the women who are here this evening. Give them guidance. Give them wisdom. May you give them what they need to do in order to preserve our citizens, to give relief to the oppressed, and to give justice for all of those who might enter into our county. Safeguard the ways in which they interact with one another. And even as we conduct ourselves, may each of us follow the example you've given for us. We ask this in the name of the Almighty and the All-Holy. Amen.
Next on the agenda, we have the approval of minutes for the May 13th, 2008 regular and special meetings. I understand these were not sent to members of the board until this afternoon.
This morning.
I was able to read them. Does anybody else have any comments?
I was able to read them.
I was able to read them.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion for Mr. Donati, second for Mr. Thornton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Next, our manager's not here, but we have a deputy county manager here, Mr. Pinkerton.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. I have no comments.
Oh, okay. Board of Supervisors comments? I would like to just say I'm really excited about the grand opening or the opening of their new animal shelter. And on Tuesday, May 20th, the new animal shelter at 10421 Woodman Road opened. I just had, over the years, I had lots of people who had called me and emailed me and took me out to the old animal shelter that, for a county our size, was tiny. And I'm so pleased we have this new animal shelter. And I've already had some folks call me or email me and say they're really delighted about it and how nice it is and sanitary and clean and great. And I'm hoping it will increase the number of animals that get adopted.
Madam Chairman, there is one other thing. I had a second thought I want to say. That is, yesterday was the Memorial Day. We did have a parade, and that parade was Henrico Memorial Day Parade. And I think this parade is the first one in this particular area. And I just want to comment on an impression of mine. And I didn't know exactly how it would be received, but I had an inclination, and from what I gathered, it looks like to me that I saw a right many families in attendance for the first one, so this might have been something that we may have hit upon, which is on the positive, so I want to just make that note. was a lot of good response to it for the first time. And the person who put that together, nurse it more, it'll be even more spectacular in the future.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, from the news media, we have Melody Martin, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Thank you for being here. Next on our agenda is public comments. Mr. Pinkerton, we have someone signed up.
Yes, Madam Chairman, members of the board. Mr. Clifford B. Searles, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, sir. Searles, thank you, sir.
My name is Clifford Searles. I reside at 8005 Carriage Lane in Richmond, Virginia, 23229, and that is in the Tuckahoe District. Members of the board, good evening. Currently in the Tuckahoe District, there are two church expansions planned. Over the past year, I've tried to work and understand the process of church expansions and the requirements placed upon them. The information and the trends that I've seen continually return me to the necessity of updating county codes in respect to churches and their parking. Current codes were a reaffirmation of the codes from 1980. I recognize the enormity of issues covered by the municipal codes, and the effort to keep them current would require an army. Understanding that, the board must react to current situations and adjust the code as needed. Examining church behavior over the past 50 years reveals interesting items. Raw data for the United States would suggest that the church attendance is dwindling. But a recent study by Dave Olson, a church planner, finds that the increase in number of churches is about 1/8 of what is needed to keep up with growth. He also finds that churches with 50 to 299 people in attendance are shrinking, while small and large churches are growing. So it's not surprising that many of the churches in Henrico desire to grow with the local demand. The church dynamic has changed over the years, though. The churches of the 60s were a neighborhood-based asset, offering a traditional service on Sundays with Sunday school and a dinner social during the week. Churches of today have become much more commercial and derive their identity from their city, drawing members from greater distances. Many offer traditional and contemporary services, adult Bible studies, and children's Sunday school, often meeting at the same time. To broaden their appeal, churches have assumed the role of community centers. They offer classes in dance, cooking, motherhood. They host Alcoholics Anonymous. This is just a sampling in my area. To support their growth, churches even have started schools or rented space to independent schools. But if you ever lay the changing role of the church with other social trends, you will see more realistic picture being faced by the neighborhoods. Looking closely at the census data, records for Henrico, and Henrico records, you will find that the 1960 average Henrico household was 3.38, and 53% of those households in the United States had only one car. According to the 2000 census, the average Henrico household has dropped to 2.39 people, and 58% have two or more cars. So what does this mean? The 1960 parking requirement of one parking space for every four fixed seats of a congregation was logical and appropriate. Today, however, with an average family size of 2.39, the appropriate requirements would align closer to one parking space for every three fixed seats. But that examination doesn't even take into account congregations are meeting in flexible space with non-fixed seating, or that they offer adult classes now. The number of cars per household also validates these trends and changes in behavior. A multiple car household of today allows families to drive more than one vehicle to church, often attending other concurrent or overlapping services. These are all factors that are not considered. Our neighborhood carefully monitored one church's parking on 8 consecutive Sundays. We attributed an average of 360 parked cars to the church peak usage time. Later, we were supplied with information from that church about the attendance of those services and classes. We found that during the peak times, an average of 1,100 people were in attendance. This equates to one car for every three people. That ratio corresponds with the demographic trends and the family size as seen in the census. The church has less than 400 sanctuary seats, and the county code only requires it to have 137 parking spaces. This church chooses to use additional flexible space with approximately 500 chairs, easily meeting the county's requirement of 42 parking spaces. If you did the math, that would be 11.9 people per car. The rest are in my neighborhood. The published growth of this church is an average of 4.5%, which means there will be an additional 16 cars each year in the neighborhood. Not only do the codes not adequately address the usage and the parking needs, but they do not seem to consider historic growth in the POD process. We surveyed our own churches and other churches in the area. They all have an impact on their neighborhoods, some being worse than others. Illegally parking seems to be an unavoidable consequence of these growing churches. Area churches are not offering effective and efficient and adequate parking. Although the churches meet current county codes, the neighbors must shoulder the effects and sacrifice safety. The county must act to protect its taxpayers and children. Church parking is just one example affected by this change in family size. Restaurants, theaters, I'm sure all these come into the parking codes. But I understand that you cannot retroactively change parking requirements, and I'm sure these PODs need to be grandfathered. But this needs to be acted upon, and it should be weighed heavily when looking at your 2010 and your 2026 plans. Thank you.
Thank you. We are in the middle of reviewing the long-range plans, so we'll put this in with the comments in the 2026 plan. I know the churches you're referring to are Third Presbyterian and Trinity United Methodist.
And I believe there's a third POD in the process, but that isn't.
Well, and I know at Third Presbyterian, they're expanding pretty dramatically and not necessarily adding any parking. But at Trinity United Methodist, they have purchased the house behind the church and are planning.
They've actually purchased 7 of the 8 houses within their block.
And they're going to tear. Oh, I know they're getting ready to tear one down.
Well, they've looked at. I think they're going to tear 5 out of the 7.
Oh, I know that one's coming. I understand, and I know our board, and I can't recall the date, it was either in 04 or 05 in the summer we researched this. Mr. Pinkerton, do you recall? I know the manager's not here tonight.
I'm trying to see if we have a planner.
Mr. Silver, do you remember when we talked about that?
The growth retreat?
Mm-hmm. 04, okay.
Yeah,
that we talked about a lot about parking, and we went over a lot of these things. But Mr. Rappasardo, is there anything, a new law, there was a law passed in the year 2000?
There was, Madam Chairman, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. That's quite a combination there. that will really have any bearing on what Mr. Searles is asking about here. And I hope I didn't butcher your name.
No.
So, Mr. Rappasardo, that happens all the time. So I think, Madam Chair, as indicated here, this is just something the board will have to look at. Obviously, this specific POD would not be appropriate to discuss that tonight because that's undoubtedly.
I'm not church adverse, or I come from a long line of Presbyterian ministers, actually. But I would love to see the code more adequately reflect the multi-use spaces that they have, or at least the family size. Because, as I said, those numbers are 50 years old now.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think the planning director, who I don't think is here tonight, would tell you if he were. Maybe he's out in the audience. Okay, sorry, Mr. Emerson. This is something, sir, that would take, if it's going to be done right, it's got to take some real study and review. And, you know, I think the county is going to look at it, but, you know, where we'll land, I couldn't tell you.
Really appreciate some good information. Thank you very much.
And I'm happy to share anything or any study that we've done through our neighborhood as well.
That neighborhood's really been really good about checking all those cars and Wednesdays and Sundays. But thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak? And this would be something that's not on the agenda.
My name is John Schenholz. I'm president and founder of the McChen Foundation.
Okay.
It's a recovery community organization. We're in the basement of Hatchell Church in Lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 4,200 square foot recovery center there.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the parade was awesome. We, you know, all our people in our foundation participated in it. You should have seen the look on these guys and girls' face taking part in something that bestowed civic pride in them, something they don't have often.
And you're a veteran, I know.
I am. I'm a Marine. And so I was extra proud of that. I'm not here to request a Marine band next year, though. The Army did fine. But I did. You know, we have 5 recovery houses in the area. Our board of directors is made up of recovering addicts and alcoholics. Most of them have over 20 years clean or sober, very active in AA and NA. Mm-hmm. And we have legacies of about 300 other recovery beds in the metropolitan area. We, our fiscal year last year, we took in $270,000, you know, for grassroots startup organization, provide those services to the county and the metropolitan area as well at no cost. The taxpayers are incredible. And the public safety side, you know, we calculate $7 million we're saving. Now, I'm here to ask you several things. One is we put a request in for some funding by suggestion of Mr. Donati when he was running for re-election. I spoke to him about some funding for our organization. He suggested do a line item, you know, budget request item. So we did that. And I got a copy of everything I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave them with you. So I would like you all to look into that and at least get a call back saying, you know, yes or no or too late or whatever. But I'm also requesting, we helped Chesterfield County get a $1.4 million federal RCSP grant, Recovering Community Support Program grant. And we did that with Sarah, Substance Abuse Addiction Counselors of Virginia, in Chesterfield County, and we added the authentic recovery support services to this program, basically meaning we're people in recovery, long-term recovery, mm-hmm. able to help guide new people through the process and how to become useful, productive members of society. In any event, that's not particularly working out good because the state of Virginia, they sort of monopolize the substance abuse program, the substance use disorder arena. And there's a state grant out that we qualify for, $200,000 mini grant that the McChinn Foundation qualifies for. We provide recovery support services, which we can be reimbursed for. And we can't ask for it on our own. We have to go through a CSB. So another reason I'm asking you people to ask Michael Connors, I see him, I spoke to about this. Consider applying for this grant for us, the McChinn Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we serve anybody in the state, you know, that comes to us. We offer our help and our assistance. And I have before me a Henrico family who came to us a week ago. She's going to just talk for a second. You know, but her heart is going to fall through the cracks if we weren't there. Now, I can give many stories on falling through the cracks and how much money that costs. But I'm not going to, I only got 5 minutes. But I also, my third request is I need each of y'all to come down to the McChinn Foundation at your convenience, one or two at a time if you'd like, and see what we're doing and let me educate you on recovery model care system of care. Right now, Virginia operates under an acute care, meaning if you're in a crisis mode addiction, you might get help. Your best help is going to probably come from the Sheriff's program down at the RISE program, jail. So we really don't have a system of care for substance use disorder citizens. Now, they're shifting statewide. They're going from what they call an acute model of care to a recovery model. That's my specialty. Mm-hmm. Been in recovery myself for over 25 years, delivering these exact services to the many citizens over the years. I'm an expert on it. And our government officials, you folks, you do not have a very good understanding of the recovery model that I speak of. So I really need you to come down. Let me show you what I'm talking about. And, you know, pictures worth a thousand words. So in the future, when I come in here, you'll know exactly what it is we're talking about. I know Mary Martha wanted to say something. Do y'all have any questions about anything I'm saying?
May I ask you, I wasn't so clear. The people you're trying to reach again, would you define it for me?
We reach the Henrico citizen, the consumers, who have substance use disorder, which is a new phrase for addiction, alcoholism, that type of behavior. We go into jails and prisons all around the area in the state. We invite folks when they get out, if they like recovery, we can help them with their new life. But we also help the families can walk right in, you know, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, basically. And we get 700-800 people a week come through that basement. We serve 50 unduplicated people a week. Well, these are huge numbers. You know, we provide, if you were to calculate in the CSB dollars, we provide several $1 million worth of services. You know, so what I'm asking, there's not a whole lot of help here. And also knowing that, you know, $265 million a year alone is the profit from ABC money giving back to Virginia, which comes back to our community. That's not counting the pharmaceutical money. Remember, half of them drugs they sell goes to an addict. There's a lot out there, which I'm getting to be quite the expert on. And I want to transfer my knowledge to y'all. I want Henrico to be a leader in the state on this new movement we got going. There's no reason we're not. You know, I'm an outstanding tool. I need to be utilized. Any other questions?
It's very good information. Mr. Pinkerton's been writing things down, too.
Yes, sir. If you could leave the information with the clerk.
Great. Thank you. Good. Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chairman.
And pull the microphone down.
My name is Mary Martha Fedick.
Is there any way that I could hand you all these pictures while I'm talking so that you could see them?
And understand, you look at these pictures and you'll understand what I'm saying. My son has been an alcoholic, in my knowledge, for 20 to 25 years. My husband and I have had him at home. He's been at St. Mary's Hospital. He has been in recovery programs. He had an intervention at St. Mary's Hospital employed by St. Mary's Hospital. We had not been able to get in touch with him for the past 3 months. He would sit up and say, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine." And finally we realized that something wasn't fine. So my husband went over to see him. He could not get in the door, but 2 weeks ago he looked at a young man who's 50 years old with a gray beard, having lost about 40 to 50 pounds, and was dying. A suicidal alcohol suicide. He came home and he told me what he'd seen. I called up Fred and I said, "Fred," he wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't talk to anybody. I knew how to get to him because I had a brother who committed suicide from alcohol. So I said, "Fred, if you don't answer the phone in 5 minutes, I'm calling the police." He answered it. And I said, "What's going on?" "Well, I've lost my job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." So I thought, well, you know, God would be good if he would just take him. And then I said to him, "Fred, if you want to live, or you want to die, if you want to die, this is the way to do it. Keep drinking, smoking, don't eat. Dad says," who is a retired OBGYN doctor, "Dad said you'd be gone in about 5 to 6 weeks or less, painless. You just sleep away. But if you want to live, then you have to get the help. But you have to ask for it." I hung the phone up. I didn't hear any more. So my daughter and I went over there and banged on the doors. Wouldn't answer. And he answered the door finally. I said the same thing to him again. "I want to live." He sat on the end of that sofa, and that's all he did was drink, smoke, vomit up blood. I said, "Okay, here is Peter Schenholz's phone number." I was not aware of what a great organization, nonprofit organization, that McShin is. He called. We took him over to the church basement. John looked at him. Go to MCV or St. Mary's. He has no money, no job, no nothing. Took him to St. Mary's, told him the situation. He was there 3 days. 3 nights. I picked him up. I took him back to McShin. "This is my son. Please, please, if ever you can get any grant money for this, for McShin, please do it. To help others. They're not only alcoholics there. There's a young man I met by the name of Casey. He was a graduate of St. Christopher, 2 years at U of R. I hugged a girl who was 19 years old, drugs. There's a gorgeous Afro-American guy that came in and said, 'Thank you, Ms. Fedick, for getting us an iron, a coffee pot.' It's the poor, it's the rich. But they have a recovery program. You can't find this anywhere else." He went 3 days later, at the request of the doctors at St. Mary's, to Henrico County Mental Health. who are wonderful people. And they said, well, you go back to McShin. To my knowledge, I don't think they have a so-called recovery program where somebody stays. And then they go into the halfway houses. And they're trained to take care of themselves and to make it. I really believe in this. I did not know I'd be standing here in front of you all until 6 o'clock tonight, or 5 o'clock tonight, when John asked me if I would come and tell my story. My story, I feel so good because I feel like a ball and chain has been taken away from my ankle. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hayes. We have the information now, and I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. And I did attend your banquet. And I had talked to a lot of people who had a lot of good things to say about your organization. So we appreciate the information you brought to us tonight. So. Okay. I'm sorry, what? Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other individuals here to make public comments? Moving on to our general agenda.
Yes, ma'am. That brings us to the general agenda. Item number 14208, resolution authorizing the county manager to submit an application to the Virginia Public School Authority to participate in the financing by such authority and to issue and sell general obligation school bonds of the county to such authority in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $45 million. Mr. Patulkas?
Yes, sir, Madam Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager. Before you is a resolution that would authorize the county manager to submit an application to the Virginia Public School Authority, or VPSA, to issue bonds that meet anticipated construction cost increases in several school projects. These projects were all authorized by the county's voters in the 2005 general obligation bond referendum. The construction cost increases for these projects were discussed with the board during the fiscal 08-09 capital budget deliberations. Subsequent to those discussions, issuing bonds through the VPSA, or Virginia Public School Authority, became a viable option and is now before you for consideration. In addition, an informational letter was sent on May 22nd as a means of providing some additional background. On May the 8th, the school board adopted a resolution requesting that the Board of Supervisors consider this action. And should the board approve this resolution, the VPSA board, or the VPSA, would officially meet in early June and take action on the county's request. And as additional information, the viability for this bond issue increased because we will be the only county or only locality that will be issuing bonds through the VPSA. So therefore, it will be a standalone issue, and our credit alone will be on those bonds. Subsequent to the VPSA action in early June, the board will consider this action again by holding a public hearing on June the 24th. Wherein the actual bond authorization and the number of closing documents would be fixed. And we do expect to receive a highly competitive interest rate on the day of the sale. And that's what I have as far as overview.
Mr. Patulkas, how does this impact your bonding capacity?
Ms. O'Bannon, the county's bonding capacity or debt capacity, if you will. We have a number of, we look at that once, twice a year. And during the capital budget, if you recall, there are a number of ratios that we present you with. So as long as we stay within those ratios, we feel comfortable in coming forward. It's interesting that you asked that question this morning. We actually had some discussions with our financial advisors at BB&T, and we've asked them to do a comparison of Henrico County's debt, if you will, to other AAAs. And we have, for a number of years, looked very good in that comparison, and we continue to look good. But this is the kind of thing that we look at consistently. The $45 million, at the time that we did or came up with the 2005 referendum, we didn't anticipate these costs, but they are here, and we believe we clearly will be fine within our own guidelines. The principal guideline that we focus on is the county's ability to the portion of the budget that is allocated for debt service. We set a ceiling of 7.75%. We have yet to exceed that ceiling, so we feel comfortable with this. In the fall, you also have a Plan GO, another series. Recall we have we've been issuing GOs every year since 2001. And we have a planned issue that we'll be bringing to you in the fall as well.
Any questions from the board?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Glover. Second, from Mr. Donati. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Next item is 143-08, introduction of resolution. Receipt of request for amendment to the FY 2007-08 annual physical plan. June 2008. Mr. Walter.
Good evening, Madam Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager. This is an introductory resolution for the request to amend the fiscal year 2000-2008 budget. If this resolution is approved, it would set the public hearing for June 10th and authorize the advertisement of the public hearing. The ad would appear in the June 3rd Richmond Times-Dispatch. As a brief overview of the amendment, the total amendment is $17.3 million. $14.3 million of that is for operating funds. The general fund piece is $9 million. The special revenue piece is $3.9 million. The internal service piece is $1.4 million. And capital funds are almost $3.1 million. To highlight a few of the larger requests included in this amendment, we have medical costs for the sheriff, $2.3 million, additional funding for gas and diesel, $2.9 million, and that breaks down to $400,000 for police, $135,000 for fire, $1 million for schools, and $1,400,000 almost for the central automotive maintenance, which provides the fuel for the rest of the county's fleet. We've been collecting additional revenue related to the hotel motel tax, the 8%, and we pay that to the Richmond Convention Center expansion. That's additional $2.8 million. Due to enhancements made to the Real Estate Advantage Program by the board in calendar year 2007, we have a need for an additional $2 million of funding for the REAP program. Food costs have been higher for school cafeterias, which will require an additional $1.4 million. The Comprehensive Services Act, or CSA, is projected to need an additional $2.1 million to pay claims for the remainder of the year, and there's funding to begin a community revitalization local incentives program. Those are some of the highlights from the paper. As I stated, this is an introduction of the amendment, and approval of the resolution will set the public hearing for June 10th. The board will actually amend the budget and appropriate the funds. It does not occur until after the public hearing, which would be the next board meeting. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
I had one on the CSA services. The Commonwealth of Virginia awarded an extra $1.25 million, so this is match? Is that what that is?
The county piece.
How do you get the $2.1 million?
The $2.1 million is $1.2 million of state funding.
Right.
And a local match of $753,000, and then an additional Medicaid funding, which is Henrico County expenses of $112,000. So that gets a county piece of additional county funding of $865,000. So if you add the 1.2 million to the 865,000, you get to the $2,117,428.
This amendment is accepting some money and moving other money. Is that the way it's done?
We'll get $1.3 million of additional money from the state, mm-hmm. and then we'll use $865,000 of fund balance.
I was just wondering, because there was a lot of discussion down at the General Assembly, is this a result of General Assembly action that took place at the last session, or why are we getting the extra money? I mean, why is he...
We're getting the extra money due to additional clients being served and additional needs, additional youth served, additional education expenses, and also the Medicaid piece.
Well, I just remember going down to the General Assembly and lobbying hard to be sure they fully fund the Comprehensive Services Act. I was hoping this was a result of that. I mean, anybody have any thoughts on that? No? Because there was a big push down at the General Assembly to be sure it was fully funded. I just was wondering if this was a result of that.
No, this is just a result of additional clients.
Additional clients.
And additional client needs.
Could you tell me how much we budgeted this year for the REAP program?
For the REAP program?
Yeah, for the 08-09 budget.
In the next year?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, if you give me a second.
I noticed you're adding $2 million to the $5.2 million. Did we allow?
Mr. Donati, the original budget in the current year is $5.2 million. And we're adding $2 million to make it $7.2 million. In the budget that was adopted in the second meeting in April, the budget for REAP is $7.2 million.
Okay.
I anticipate that I will be here next year.
I'll get ready to ask.
Requesting additional money for REAP. We took a best guess when we prepared the budget that $2 million would be enough for the next fiscal year. But with the growth, I kind of doubt it.
Okay, thank you.
So they advertised it very well.
Yeah.
I have said something at speeches and things about the increase in gas costs, and people were, I'll just say in a way, were poo-pooing that as a big problem. And I'll just say I had given a speech about the change to Henrico, Virginia, and $5 million and improvements, you know, that would have in our budget and all. And yet we're seeing it. I have 2.895, but you said $2.9 million extra needed just for gasoline costs. So, I mean, that was what I was trying to explain, and people were saying, oh, that's not a, you know, $5 million isn't a big deal. But it seems to me that with needing that extra for the police department, fire department, and EMS and schools, then that does make a difference. I just point that out.
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Yeah. 2.8, well, I added it up, but you like you said, $2.9 million. How much is that on our real estate tax? You know, if we had to try to accommodate that.
Total for the gas and diesel is $2,895,000, and I just rounded it up to $2.9 million. 1 cent on the real estate tax is about $3.3 million.
So it's almost having to go up a penny on real estate just to cover the cost of fuel. I mean,
you could...
Direct cost. I mean, that's an absolute direct cost. You know,
that is increases. Correct.
Of course, we'll try to tell the police officers not to respond so fast, or the firefighters to sit in the
no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
We're doing that. We are.
I mean, I just brought it up, and everybody thought, "Oh, that's just an excuse or something." I'm just pointing it out.
The manager has issued a memo asking all the various agencies to come back with a fuel conservation plan, but. One of the things that we are not doing is revising public service or public safety services. That is not going to be impacted.
There was one other thing on here. Mr. Thornton pointed out the Memorial Day Parade, and I see there are two allocations on here. Do we have a budget for the Memorial Day Parade yet? Have they sent any budget in?
We have not received the budget yet, I don't believe.
Mr. Bannon, I had some discussions with, I sent a letter to the 501c3 that was the recipient of those funds. stating the need for a budget and a final accounting on that project. So we will receive a final accounting. The budget was more intended to be a planning tool for the $25,000, the how it would be laid out.
So will we know this by the time this is an introduction to the ordinance? Will we possibly have that? I mean, the parade was yesterday.
No, ma'am. I don't believe you'll have the final accounting of it. The request for a budget really is when you think of how we deal with all of the 501c3s, the gentleman that spoke at the public comments period, all of those entities, we strongly suggest that they use a budget as a planning tool. We don't, however, as part of the process, then get back a budget. What we get back is a final accounting through the form of an audit we have a statement of this is how we spent these funds for this purpose for all of the non-departmental entities that we have.
And who does that accounting when you said there's...
The accounting is done a myriad of ways. It really depends on how large the 501c3 is. Some large entities, like the Arts Consortium, for instance, will send in a large recognized external audit firm. We have some accountants that will provide how these funds were spent. The entity itself may provide a statement as long as it's recognized. All of these entities also have to be 501c3. So at the time that we get these requests, the hurdles that we have internally for these organizations to meet are fairly high, and they've been applied, I think, fairly consistently over time, because the formula we have seems to work. You have a request that comes in. There are services that these entities are providing for county residents. And then at the end of the day, we have some sort of feedback mechanism that's provided to us that we then use to keep them in the hopper, if you will, as being able to continue to request funds from the county.
So then we upfront the money, and then what they don't spend, they return?
No, ma'am.
That was the letter that I saw, I think.
Correct.
Yeah.
The request that typically your 501c3 organization requests come in during the budget process. This particular one came outside of the budget process, so the allocation of funds to the rescue squad is an estimate. At the end of the day, the final accounting will recognize and will allow us to say, okay, well, if the entity didn't spend $25,000, it's on this amendment, then we expect a reimbursement, if you will, of the difference. But your question initially, will we know at the time of the public hearing? I don't believe, that's going to be the case. What we will know is, in time for us to close our books, we'll know whatever final payment comes back, because most bills are on a net 30 basis. You have 30 days to pay most bills, so your public hearing is, what, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think it may be close if you're asking my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the other members of the board?
Move resolution.
Introduction to resolution.
Sorry, excuse me.
Motion for Mr. Nadi, second for Mr. Glover. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is introduced. Next.
Next item is 144-08, resolution authorization to accept grant funding from the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Chief?
Yes, Madam Chair, other members, this is a gift to the county. $110,000 is coming from VDM. This is a grant that they have applied for that are only going to the regional hit teams throughout the state. There's seven of them in the state, and we happen to be one of them, and they're giving us this money, and we need it. So I'd really like for you to give us some consideration, please.
Second.
Motion for Mr. Glover, second for Mr. Donati. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution passes. Next.
Item 145-08, resolution acceptance of roads.
Move resolution.
Second.
Motion for Mr. Glover, second for Mr. Thornton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Chairman, that completes the agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
That took so long.